Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alrighty, hour number two, Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, coming to you live from our Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently on this beautiful Monday across the country. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206, at Tiki and Tierney, 1-855-212-4227. Okay, you better believe we're carving out some time for Tiger Woods. Are you nuts? I couldn't. Let me tell you something right now, Teak. I'm watching this yesterday, right? I said about 30 minutes here on the show that I was sincerely, I'm not saying this for effect.
Yeah.
I sincerely had tears in my eyes.
Why?
Watching Tiger Woods.
Why?
You have to understand, and not everybody's going to get this, and I'm in the middle of writing an article for CBS that I think a lot of people want to read, and I'm pretty honest, and thank God I never reached for pills, because with my personality, I would have been in trouble. I know myself well enough to know that I would have been in trouble.
Yep.
And a lot of people aren't able to navigate the pain but without reaching for those pills.
You're right.
So the tears weren't because he was hitting the ball 320 off the tees and, you know, deftly hitting out of bunker shots and, you know, puring six irons. It was less about golf, and it was more about the journey. And I really believe that, you know, if you've played golf like you and I have, and if you love golf like I do, I'm not good, but damn it, I love the sport, and I wish I was better. I'm not. I probably never will be. I love it. And I've had real issues with my back. You know that. Real issues. To sit there and watch him the final few holes, trying to wonder, like, what's in his mind? What is he thinking about? What is he going through? I think you have had to at least been in the zip code that he was in. And that zip code is, seriously, man, I'm not just saying this for effect. Waking up in the morning when you first open your eyes and not knowing how it's going to feel.
Yeah.
To get in your car, to go to the store to get diapers or milk, and it takes 7 or 8 minutes to navigate getting into that car seat by contorting your body in a position where it doesn't feel like somebody's stabbing a knife in your back. To drop the soap or a bottle of body wash in the shower, and to literally crouch like a catcher to pick it up, because you know if you bend over, you might not get back up. And I've been there. I've felt those pains and the uncertainty of your physical future. And for him to somehow get back, and he had fusion. I've had other stuff. I didn't have fusion, thank God. To get there, the pills, the DWI, the indiscretions with his wife, all the public meltdowns and critiques. I don't need anybody to agree with me on this. I don't need a poll. I don't need people to call and debate me. This is not about debate. What I watched personally for somebody who's been in this business for 20 years like I have been was the most improbable, most amazing physical accomplishment that I've ever seen with my own eyes.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Are you surprised?
No, because I've been watching him since, you know, since his latest comeback, and I've referenced the metrics. And I've talked about Tiger and the incremental growth in his season. You know, first he's got to learn, you know, can he chip a ball 8 yards without bending over in pain? Then can he hit a wedge 140, like get or 150 or 160 in his case? Can he dial it up, you know, when he's in the rough and the hosel of the iron, the rough's so thick, the hosel redirects your body in an unpredictable direction that you can't possibly prepare for. Can he get through that? And if he can get through it on Thursday, can he get through it on Friday? And if he can do it on Friday, can he get through it on Saturday? And if he can do that on Saturday, can he somehow get it through on Sunday? Not only physically finish four rounds, Can he put up the requisite 65, 62, 67, 68? The answer is yes. Mm-hmm. And you ask me, am I surprised? The answer is no.
Yeah.
Because anybody who's listened to this show knows I'm one of the few people in the world who has believed that Tiger Woods would win again.
Well,
and that's true.
It's interesting because you go back to April of last year because you're talking about the DUI that he had. Actually, that was in May of last year. He had the surgery in April, but in May of last year, this is when he was found. And you forget the details of this car, but he was sleeping. He found sleeping in a running car. His speech was slurred, and he was mumbling, and he was arrested. That was a DUI arrest. He ultimately went to a rehab facility because of addiction to what you were talking about, painkillers, and mixed with a muscle relaxer or something like that, mm-hmm. something to help you sleep. And he stupidly decided to get into a car. That was probably rock bottom. Everybody else will talk about all that other stuff that happened.
No, that was rock bottom. You're right.
But that's stupid. That's just youthful, not even youthful, just man indiscretion. Stupid.
You're right. I agree with you.
When you come to the point where you are medicating, self-medicating, and making bad decisions mm-hmm. in your life. I mean, he could have died.
They asked him what state he was in. He
had no idea.
California. He was in Florida.
Agreed. Nobody thinks about this. He was lucky that he was sleeping with his foot on the brake.
Yeah.
He easily could have been driving,
uh-huh.
right, and uh-huh. just passed out, and who knows, right?
Yep.
He could have died that night. He didn't.
Could have overdosed.
Agreed.
Died in sleep one night.
He got help. And then he slowly started to make this comeback. And it started with that Hero World Challenge that he hosts. And I remember talking to Joe LaCava, who was his caddy, right before that, probably about 2 weeks before that. He lives in Connecticut, and he was just around. I'm like, what are you doing with yourself? Why aren't you on anybody's bag? And I'm like, all right, Tiger's paying you not to be on anybody's bag, so that's cool. Even though it subsequently came out that Tiger had encouraged him to go get someone else's bag, but he, out of loyalty, wanted to stay ready for Tiger whenever he became available. And it happened, and it started to happen quick because you started to see him competing and making cuts, getting through, you know, four rounds. And then the majors came around, and you were at this belief, he's going to win a major, he's going to win a major, he's going to win a major. I think he will now.
Oh, yeah.
But I needed to see him just win. Mm-hmm. And he got close a couple of times.
Almost won the Open Championship, almost won the PGA Championship.
Almost won PGA, ran up against the
Brooks Koepka.
The behemoth that is Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
Dude, that dude is amazing.
Yeah.
One of the other great stories that hopefully doesn't get lost in this 2018 season, because there was a bunch of them in the PGA this year. Tiger obviously taking precedent because so many people, there's a generation, BT, of golf fans, enthusiasts, who live and die with Tiger Woods. They didn't start watching golf until Tiger Woods came. They hung with him the entire time. When he left the game, for whatever reasons, they stopped watching.
That's true.
And then they finally came back when, hey, it's Tiger. Tiger's going to be – he's competing. And they've started to come back. And the beauty of that is that there's so many great things happening around the PGA that Tiger is now the crowning jewel of the zenith of for the 2018 year, that it makes it exciting in the PGA world, because these young kids who are stars now have to compete and be challenged by the greatest maybe golfer in the history of the sport.
Listen, I mean, there is no way to prove this, okay? But the and granted, listen, like, I'm not a tennis aficionado,
mm-hmm.
So when we venture into a Serena discussion, I'm not going to have much depth in terms of what I reach for, for arguments. I'll be admittedly kind of on the surface stuff, mm-hmm. right? I'll reach for a couple names from the past that we all know for sure, and current names, but I can't go too deep into the well because my reservoir is not very deep when it comes to tennis or even UFC. And I say that because a lot of people that do what you and I do for a living don't necessarily have a deep reservoir when it comes to golf knowledge,
right,
which is fine. I'm not taking a shot at them. But one thing that I heard a lot that I believe was, and quite frankly, I kind of thought that this was true as well. And yesterday proved something, and it proved that it's not. We heard from people who know golf and from people who don't, well, the one thing you'll never see again, nobody will ever fear Tiger Woods again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I got to be honest with you. I latched on to that because his cloak of invincibility was forever compromised. The way the mugshot, you know, the indiscretions with his wife. He was humiliated. He was just reduced to a shell physically and I think in terms of his own confidence of what he once was. Rory McIlroy teed up with him in the final group yesterday.
Rory McIlroy shot
a plus four. What did Tiger do on the first hole? He ripped in a 15-foot birdie. Without saying, he said, Rory, get lost, bro. I'm going to destroy you today. And that's what Tiger would do.
Yeah, you're right.
He would show up, and guys would be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then all of a sudden, Sunday, first couple of holes, Tiger would just destroy him. He would snuff out their soul. Justin Rose, who is one of the most, he's the number one player in the world.
You're right.
Shot a 73.
I know.
And was missing fairways like an amateur.
You're right.
He's one of the most accurate drivers of the golf ball in the world. So, again, I can't quantify this, but Tiger Woods yesterday, and that roar that was just slowly growing, really from Thursday, and really all summer, reached such a crescendo that it impacted two of the greatest players on the planet, and that I didn't think was possible anymore.
No, I agree.
I never thought we'd see that.
I'm interested to see when he gets into a final pairing with Brooks Koepka or one of these other guys who have become a great champions right now. Because Brooks Koepka is probably the best major player right now, even to his own admission. He remember he said after these, was it the PGA Championship or was it
he
the second
St. Louis? He gets jacked up for these. He doesn't really care about
exactly.
the other stuff. Which is kind of disappointing
it's
for somebody that you want to take the baton and be.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Because the only way he'll ever compete with Tiger is if he's getting close to winning 80 by the time he's done, like Tiger is. Close to breaking the all-time PGA Tournament wins record after this one. So I want to see him with one of the stars, one of the great major champions, young great major champions, and see if that effect still holds. Justin Rose, by the way, won $10 million for the FedEx Cup winning.
If he didn't birdie 18.
In clutch fashion, dude.
You know, that's as clutch as it gets. There's nothing more clutch than that
which
in history.
Which is awesome. It gets glossed over because of Tiger.
And he even said it, Justin, in his acceptance. By the way, he got a great, his drive. He drove his drive on 18 about 360 feet on that little downward slope a little bit in front of the lake on the par 5 on 18.
Yeah.
Hit a great iron shot, got in, got down in two, and birdied it and deserved it to win it because he is a world-class champion. Teague, these numbers, real quick on this. NBC says the overnight rating for Tiger Woods' first PGA Tour win in 5 years was up 206% from last year's final round.
Wow.
And Darren Revelle offered this from a different context. He said more people were watching when Tiger won yesterday than any amount of people at any given time for the British Open or the U.S. Open this year.
Wow.
It wasn't even a major.
Yeah.
I mean, I could literally do this for 3 hours. I know we can because we got Mike Vick coming up here on Tiki and Tierney talking about some quarterback stuff. But I'll say it again. When this article comes out, I will direct everybody to it. It's pretty deep, and I think you guys will enjoy it. I was not a Tiger Woods fan. I was always a Phil guy. I've always said that. I play lefty. Phil was like, you know, more affable, more relatable, more human, whatever. Tiger was petulant on the course. God forbid you breathed when he was taking a practice swing. I mean, he would have his henchmen come over and basically rub you out like a mafia man from the 20s, right? He was a zero. He became the only thing that, let me take that back. The only thing that prevented him from being a zero is that his heartbeat didn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
Every other aspect of his life was destroyed. And I'll say this, I am disappointed. I don't know the arrangement. I would have loved to have seen his kids run out on that green. And I was expecting that. And I don't know, this is where I'm going to stop. I don't know what's up with his arrangement with his ex-wife, and I really don't care.
Yeah.
But he's talked about how his kids only know him as a YouTube champion, a YouTube superhero. Where was his kids when he won? Yes, I would have loved to have seen them run out on the green. Tiger, welcome back, man. Very few people thought you'd do it. It's awesome. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen in sports.
Yeah.
I mean that.
It was a great one.
We got Mike Vick coming up next. And we'll do inbounds, out of bounds after that. If you want to get us on tweets, hit us up at Tiki and Tierney on Tiger, whatever else it is. Week 3 around the NFL. Chris Gronkowski, brother of Rob. Maybe next week we'll get Rob on the show. I'm just kidding. We'll talk to him coming up as well. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Time now for Doing More. Brought to you by the Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement. Everything you need to do, Project Smarter. It's the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. As we take a look at somebody who's doing a lot for his team. Dolphins quarterback Ryan Tannehill tossed a couple of the touchdowns. And is just shy of 300 yards in the win. Miami now 3-0. They took out the Raiders, who are the exact opposite. 0-3 are the Raiders. So, and Tannehill, fourth in the NFL in passer rating at nearly 122. And I don't even know that he's really fully clicking in the passing game yet.
No, he has. It doesn't look like it, but he's not making mistakes.
Nope.
That's the biggest thing for me with Ryan Tannehill. The mistakes are what kill you. When you have a decent team around you, surprisingly, there's a decent team around him.
Yeah.
And he's not making any mistakes. At least he didn't this past weekend against the Oakland Raiders. BT, I know you saw the images because you were watching. I actually was not watching Tiger Live.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much football going on. And you know what? On Friday, I kind of convinced myself he's going to win, so I'm not going to watch it, right? It's one of those things. Like, I know he's going to win. He's up by five. It doesn't matter. And it never crossed my mind. And then I started getting these alerts about Tiger. And then, more importantly, the Twitter feeds and memes and everything of the crowd. The crowd that I don't know if
I've commercial.
Ever, BT, they were on the green, basically.
I mean,
the crowds were, it was unbelievable. The energy from the fans that were there. I mean, it's one thing to, you know, talk about Tiger's return and what it means to golf, really what it means to him, but it was unreal how
there's nobody massive. Like him in the history of sport.
I agreed.
And
I don't care how great Brooks Koepka becomes
or
Rory or any of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to draw a crowd like this.
No, it's a you know, it's a unique package. It's a package of race. It's a package of fighting through a lack of privilege
mm-hmm.
and a lack of access.
Yep.
It's a package of
look at all those people.
It is, and by the way, that stadium setup. You went to Top Golf
yep.
with the kids.
Yep.
It was almost like it was Top Golf, like
yeah.
how they have
yeah,
the different
right.
layers
yeah, the
of
tiers, yeah.
the grandstand was, and that wasn't even on 18. That was on like 16 or 17, and then they started just. Taking over the fairways. Good luck, state troopers,
dude.
Keeping those away
Seriously,
from Tiger Woods.
There was like four guys. There was four state troopers, and there had to be 2,000 people trying to walk with them.
I know.
The entire time.
It was like Bowden after a, you know, a game in the ACC back in the day.
You're
know,
right.
Trying to keep them from getting, you know, or these. You see it in the SEC, too. These,
right.
these state troopers, they shield the head coaches.
Yeah, so when you,
it was amazing.
When people talk about like him being the greatest golfer, this is why. It's one thing to win, to beat Jack and to, you know, win the most number of majors on tour, which is 82, I believe. I think he's two behind.
He's two beyond.
Yeah, Sam Snead. And it's one of those things that's, like, quantifiable.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, energy, it's unmatched, man. It's like rock star status, to be honest with you, in a golf sense.
Well, you know what's funny? Yeah, well, that goes without saying. I mean, now, this was amplified because of the void that the golfing public and really the sporting public had
mm-hmm.
during his demise, whether it was physical or off the court, self-inflicted, so to speak. And I was talking about, I was jotting down a few things here before the show, like Jim Abbott threw a no-hitter
mm-hmm.
with one hand.
Yeah.
It was with the Yankees.
Unreal.
You know, Shaq Griffin, who's going to have him on the show tomorrow,
yeah.
is playing in the NFL with one hand.
He started his first game.
He did. It's amazing, right? And we saw the commercial. He's part of the Nike commercial. But there are, you know, Miracle on Ice, 1980. I mean, there's different pockets, team achievements, individual achievements. But, you know, I take this one personally because it's a different, you know, I don't know how else to say it, that when your body fails you, I don't mean a terminal illness, physical pain, like searing pain that shoots through your body like somebody strapped you in an electric chair mm-hmm. that nobody can understand unless they've gone through it. Like, you know, it's not just a grandma or grandpa affliction, sciatica, bad back. You think, whatever, just get in your rocking chair. This happens to people who are in their 20s.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's not commercials about them. They're not walking through or on a fairway with 9,000 people behind them. That's probably the making of a new Nike commercial. They're just trying to get through life,
yeah.
man. So I admit, this hits me differently. I know. Some people don't like playing golf. Some people have never played golf. Some people don't think golf is a sport. Some people don't think Tiger Woods is a good guy. Some people think all those things. I understand it. I understand the conflict. But I'm going to reiterate, man, this to me was my favorite, outside of like when my team winning a championship, this was my favorite moment as a sportscaster. I just didn't want it to end. And of course, I had to get back to football, which I did. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was taping the Golf Channel. I went back to that, all of our buddies, you know, Brandel, Champlain, those guys. And I wanted to make sure I watched all that, you know, later on at night, right before the Pats and the Lions played. But, Teak, if I could have sat there for 5 hours with this coverage, I would have. And yeah. I think people who know this show and know at least a little bit of my story with my back know where I'm coming from. It's coming from a real place. It was absolutely amazing. We got Mike Vick coming up next, right? So Mike Vick is a guy who came from a dark place as well, different dark place. Mike Vick will join us to talk about the quarterback play and everything going down in Week 3. That's next after Jay Berman's update, which is coming at you right now. A lot of the circumstances that almost all of them, from first overall pick to being out of the league to being a star and a Pro Bowler, really everything in between. Mike Vick is with us here on Tiki and Tierney CBS Sports Radio. Mike, how are you today, buddy? What's going on, man? How you been?
Man, I'm doing great. Thanks for asking, man. Nothing much. Just, trying to focus on being the best I can be on Fox and, at home with the family.
Yeah, I like that. First session, I got to ask you back to our hood. What in the heck happened to your Hokies against Old Dominion this weekend? I mean, come on.
I'm still trying to figure it out, man. You know what? I'm still trying to get more intel on what really happened because all I know is I walked into one of my good friend's offices and he's watching the game and I'm looking at a guy running into the end zone, but I noticed that it was the wrong color jersey. Virginia Tech guy to be running. It was an Old Dominion guy. And then I look down at the scoreboard, and I'm like, man, was it a replay? I was just taken aback, man. I was surprised. It's probably the biggest loss in school history. And, it's just no excuse for it, man. Some people want to blame it on we had a couple weeks off or a game was postponed. There's no excuse. You know, and I know football can go either way on both sides for either team, but that's certainly a game that we have to win if we want to achieve that common goal, and that's playing for a national championship.
Yeah. You know, your head coach down there, Justin Fuentes, is a good head coach. I think some excuses amount, but, I mean, losing the Old Dominion.
29-point favorites.
Yeah, that was rough.
29-point favorites, Mike.
I only bring it up, Mike, because I picked them in our six-pack of picks. We do picks every week, and I picked them, and they let me down big time. But, let's move on.
I think they let the world down.
Oh, I'm telling you. Trust me, my Cavaliers have been there as well. Let's move on to the NFL. Mike, there's a couple of interesting quarterback situations. Some young players that are getting a chance to play. And the one I guess jumps off the page for me is Baker Mayfield from Oklahoma, but now going to get the start with the Cleveland Browns. You came into the league kind of with a similar type of hype. What's this experience like for him? And more importantly, can he be successful and lift this program just like you had to when you came in with the Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah, I think he can be successful. I like Hugh Jackson as a head coach. I like him as an offensive mind. I also like Todd Haley and what he can bring to the table. I think those two combined can put game plans together for Baker that's successful. And Baker being only 6 feet, man, I think he finds passing lanes well. I think he has great vision. I think he's instinctive and he has a quick release and a strong enough arm to fit balls in spaces where. It almost looks like the defender has a chance to get it, but the ball kind of sneaks past him.
Yeah.
So that's accuracy. That's anticipation, and when you have that, that's a gift. It's not something that can be learned overnight. You have to have experience doing it, and the best passers are able to do that. So I think they got him a gem. They got them a gem in Baker Mayfield, and Cleveland should be ecstatic. They're lucky, and I'm excited for them.
Yeah, and really, it's just fun for the NFL. Yeah. It's a great, hardworking, blue collar town. People are getting up and they're slogging through tough days and tough weather, and it's galvanizing to see them get this little treat finally from the football gods. And I am curious, Mike, talking to Mike Vick, by the way, here on Tiki and Tierney CBS Sports Radio. When it comes to debating and evaluating and projecting quarterbacks, there's a lot of variables that Some people, you know, some people lean on this, some people lean on that. Give me two things, according to Mike Vick, that are absolutely non-negotiable from college to the pros that if you don't have, you simply cannot be a star.
At the quarterback position.
Yep, just at the quarterback spot.
Toughness.
Toughness, okay.
Toughness. Well, maybe that should be number two.
Okay.
But number one is competence. You know, you have to be able to think your way through a football game. You know, it's not about just dropping back, going to a single receiver. You know, at some point you're going to be asked to go through your progressions. At some point you're going to be asked to change the plays in the line of scrimmage. And then there's going to be times where you're going to have to improvise. And I think, you know, in the moment you have to be able to, you know, be competent enough to do it in order for the change to continue to move. And you can't be afraid to do it. And you can't be afraid to stand in the pocket and get hit. You can't be able to scramble outside of the pocket and make tough throws or make sacrificing throws. But, you know, you're throwing up 50-50 balls and you're trying to throw the ball in tight windows like you see Patrick Mahomes did yesterday.
Yep.
You know, you have to be grounded. You have to be committed. And for sure, man, just being smart enough and being tough enough will take you a long way.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring that point up because I think it is. Managing and thinking through a game is not something we talk about often for young quarterbacks, but it is the most important thing because it's long, right? You can have success early on or failure early on and think, man, this is it. But you still got 45 minutes or, you know, a half to go. And you could get away with it, Mike, because you were so athletic. I mean, you were the fastest guy on the field almost every time you were out there. You were elusive and could make plays happen with your legs. But the question, how long does it take to learn that? You know, because we see a bunch of them that are playing right now. Baker's one. Josh Allen's one. Josh Rosen seemed like he's going to get a chance as well. How long does it take to learn that awareness about, you know, managing the game from start to finish?
Well, I think every rep counts, and obviously game situations, you have to take that into account. Being down in a football game, you may be down 14-0 or 21-0 and may have to come back. You may be up, you know, 21-0 and have to sustain a lead. You may have to come back and win in the closing seconds. It's those reps that builds you into a Pro Bowl caliber player. And in those moments, you take advantage of it. You know, you either pass or you fail. And, you know, whatever side you come out on, it's going to be a learning experience.
Yeah.
If you win the game, then you learn from it. And what could I have done better throughout the game so it don't lead to us having to come back? Or if you lose the game, what could I have done better? I know I had more moments in my career where I thought, you know, what could I have done better? And as much success as I had, I feel like I had, you know, more that I left out on the table. So you always want to be your own worst critic, and you always want to, you know, strive to be the best that you can be, and that takes a lot of hard work.
Yeah, Mike, with that being said, do you think it's more important now for young quarterbacks to play right away? Because it used to be, you know, when you came in, when I came in earlier than you, it was like, let the guy sit, right? Aaron Rodgers, sit for a couple years, learn something. Is it more important for these kids to learn now?
Yeah, I think it's important for them to just get out there and go. You put them right into the starting lineup, and you get them comfortable. Because if you think, they have pretty much 4.5 months to get themselves ready to play their first game. You got the mini camps, you got OTAs, you got training camp, and then you got preseason. That's a ton of reps. It's more than enough time to learn. And, you know, especially if they're doing it with the ones right out the gate, or you – work them in with the twos, and then you get them with the ones, come training camp, preseason. You know, then he adjusted the speed of the game. So I don't necessarily believe in holding guys back. You pick them in the first round, you play them. Now, second, third, fourth round, there's a reason that they went that late. You work with them. They're considered projects.
Yep. But
the guys who are drafted early, you put them out there and you let them roll. And I'm excited to see, you know, the new faces in the NFL, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, you know, even Lamar Jackson, when you get a chance to play, he'll probably sit a little longer because of Flacco. But, you know, it's great to see new up-and-coming young quarterbacks in the league. It's exciting.
It really is. I don't think it's ever been quite this exciting.
I agree, man.
It's unique, man. Talking to Michael Vick with us here. Michael, four-time Pro Bowler. and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. We got to get into Mahomes a little bit here. And, you know, the one play that jumps out, at least so far, and he's made some sick throws from week one.
13 touchdowns and no interceptions. I mean,
it's crazy.
Pretty amazing.
But the one touchdown he threw yesterday in the right part of the end zone where he scrambled, it equated to about 40 yards. And, Mike, he didn't even get his left hand on the football to pat it and, like, kind of recalibrate before he threw it like a baseball. It was insanity.
Yeah.
And I wonder, I know he's special. I know that. But I wonder how much of the production is a little bit of a product of the modern NFL. When you start pushing Peyton Manning outside the record book, I want a little context here. How good is Patrick Mahomes? You know what I mean?
Well, he's really good. And when I was in training camp with them in 2017 on the internship, I seen him do it over and over and over again. So for me to see that throw, it didn't surprise me because I seen him do it in practice, and now I just seen him, you know, just translate it over into the game. And, you know, Patrick is a guy who soaks in a lot of information. I tell you what, being around Alex Smith and being with Andy Reid and Mike Kafka, who was my backup in Philadelphia and a very smart quarterback, wasn't the most talented, but a guy who can get you through a game, had a lot of football knowledge. That's who Patrick is surrounded around now. And that quarterback room is a room that can change you. It can make you or break you. And I think for Pat, he's just in a good position where he can go out and play the game and just let his talents just flow.
Yeah.
You know, if he has to improvise, then he does. If he has to beat you from the pocket, then he's more than equipped to beat you all over the field. And there's no throw he can't make, so that's what makes him even more dangerous.
Yeah, and you know what? You know this because you have worked with Andy Reid. Andy Reid is a genius with designing plays. You see some of these play calls and misdirection, and you couple that with all the talent that they have, and it's no question why he's having the success. Mike, what do you think about all of the quarterback protection issues that are happening right now? You can't hit quarterbacks anymore. I get the low hit quarterbacks. You know, I get not hitting them high. Now you can't even sack them anymore. What's your take on the protection of the quarterback? I get it. You're the biggest paid, you know, highest paid assets on the football field, but it feels like it's not football.
Yeah, man, I'm kind of getting fed up with it. You know, these last two calls that was made on Clay Matthews really, really irked me. And listen, you're changing the dynamic of a football game. You're changing, you know, the direction of a team. You know, you have one team that could be, you know, ahead in the win-loss column, and you know, the one team ties or don't go on to win at all. And I think, you know, this is just setting the NFL back. Look, you got to protect the quarterbacks. They are the marquee guys. They're the marketing tools for the National Football League and for TV. And it makes sense. We all want to see, you know, Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers, and Drew Brees. So I want to see these guys. And I know being a quarterback myself, we want to be out there, but we don't want to change the integrity of the game over a couple hits.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I think it's, you know, the onus is on the officials now. They have to do better.
Yeah.
And, listen, I don't think they're targeting guys. I don't think Clay Matthews had a bullseye on his back. Just as one guy in particular who watched this guy, if he gets too close to the quarterback, and he'll call a flag on him because he had a rough in the past the last week, Kirk Cousins. I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
I think it's just you know, the refs getting really, really comfortable and saying, look, we're going to protect the quarterback at all costs. And I don't think they know when they should throw the flag, man.
But that's why I don't blame the refs, Mike.
Yeah,
that's why I don't blame the refs.
That's why it's rough, man.
Yeah, just too much emphasis being placed on it. Get back to the normal rules of a guy throws the ball 1/1,000 and he gets hit, that's late. You know, but these guys are coming at the quarterback in full throttle.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way for them to slow down. It's unfair to them. So I'm, you know, taking sides with the defense now, with the defensive line, I just don't think it's fair for them or for the game.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Michael Vick is with us here, of course, former NFL quarterback coordinator now for the Atlanta AAF team. He's got a lot of, he's on TV. Vick's doing okay for himself these days.
You got too many jobs going on, Mike. Hey, and here's another one that you're helping promote, www.winviewgames.com. This is like a cross between trivia and daily fantasy. Tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, WinView is an in-game app, man, where I think fans can stay involved throughout the course of the game. And, you know, it's a quarter long where, you know, fans get on the app, They can follow the game. You know, it's 3rd and 10. Do you think it's going to be a pass or run? Yes or no. It's that simple. But, you know, it's all about education in the game of football. I think the more people know, the better, and that's why I got involved. I think it's a great way for the fans to be interactive during the game and feel like they're a part of it. They may be watching their favorite team, or they may just be competing.
Yeah.
But I think the app is certainly moving in the right direction as far as just fan engagement.
I like the sound of that. www.windviewgames.com.
Mike, I want to ask you, we don't have a whole lot of time left, and I think you'll be cool with this, and certainly would never try to put you in an awkward spot. We all know your story, the football story and the off-the-field story. And you've talked about this. You've gone through a lot. A lot of it you brought upon yourself, as you know. But those who weren't willing to forgive Michael Vick maybe 5-6 years ago, maybe a little longer, the people that you come in contact that had a disdain maybe for what you did, have they relented? Do you feel that the general public, not your adoring fans, they were always going to roll with you, the people who weren't with you, where do you think they are right now? Have they come closer to you, and do you feel like they've embraced you?
Yeah, I have. And, you know, the cool part about it, and that question is funny that you asked, is because what I've experienced over the last year of my life is meeting people, and the honesty, I think, you know, is what, you know, I pay more attention to and what kind of sets our conversations apart from any other conversation that we probably could have. Just them being able to tell me, listen, I didn't agree with what you did. I didn't like it. But I've watched you. I've watched you grow. I've watched the things that you've done. And I can truly say that, you know, I forgive you. I wish you nothing but the best. And I'm rooting for you. And I may have gotten that about 500 times in meeting people over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was a step in the right direction. So I look at that and say, okay, you know, I came out of prison with a goal. And that was to change things, turn things around, you know, make amends and try to, you know, be the best advocate and set the best examples that I can set, you know, for the next generation.
Yep.
And just getting that type of response, I'm like, okay, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Don't let up. You know, don't get, you know, complacent. Don't, you know, feel like you have arrived. It's plenty of work to do. And, you know, I take on that responsibility as a role model, you know, for the next generation of not just up-and-coming athletes, but for kids and people in general, you know. So, you know, I hold myself accountable to a high standard, and I'm going to continue to live that way. So hopefully I keep getting those compliments and people keep forgiving.
Yeah. I'll tell you this, man. I know we got a role, as do you. Mike Vick with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Full disclosure, full transparency. I was one of those people who I didn't know if I would ever look at you in a positive light. And I take a lot of pride, you know, being from New York, being from Brooklyn, being able to read people. Now, I look, and it's the highest compliment that I could pay somebody. I think Mike Vick has become a real asset to society, man, and I mean that. Good job.
I got to keep it up.
No doubt.
Keep it up.
Hey, Mike, I always just tell BT, I knew he was a good guy because he taught my 3-year-old then, who's now 16, how to throw a football at the Pro Bowl.
But he's not a quarterback. He's a receiver.
I know, but he wanted to be a quarterback because he was playing with Mike Vick at the Pro Bowl. Hey, Mike, you represent Virginia well. We all make mistakes in life, but you've come away the right way, and we appreciate you. Thanks for hopping on, my friend.
Hey, thanks, CK. Appreciate you guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.